And welcome to Community Kitchen. It's always fun to do a bit of baking, and I had a call this week from someone saying, can you have a little chat about pastries? And I thought, you know, pastries are good, but let's talk about what we have in abundance at the same time and let's join it together. For example, we've got lots of lemons, for example. What's nicer than something like a little lemon curd inside one of those really beautiful, simple, sweet pastries? So we'll go through and have a chat about that. And also bananas. I know that there's, you know, always bananas around. And when I was a kid, we used to have what I guess you call now as a banoffee pie. And it was just probably one of my favourites, I think, where you had those lovely layers of caramel, which is just by boiling the condensed milk, covered in water and watching, of course, because it can blow. You can buy it in the can already done now, but you know what? I just don't think it tastes the same for some stupid reason. It just does my head in with that one because it can't be any different. So maybe they're boiling it less or boiling it longer, but it never seems to taste the same. So a banoffee pie, caramel, bananas, whipped cream. Mum used to put a layer of marshmallow in there too, and maybe some passion fruit just within the cream. These are sort of really indulgent, but I tell you what, just sometimes taking that extra time to make something really special is just so rewarding. It's just like when you make that special birthday cake for someone or that dinner that someone really enjoys, it really is a treat. And of course, let's not forget an apple pie. You know, a really good apple pie is sensational. It really is. And there's all different ways to make it. Some people like the puff pastry. Some like the phyllo, which I think is beautiful if you're doing a strudel. But just a really good crust. Apple pie with a really nice short crust. But let's talk about pastry. It's a simple and really simple sweet pastry. It's easy to use. It's versatile. And it's very forgiving. And you know, it just with you when you're doing a simple pastry, and using a combination of the plain flour and the self-raising. This is what I'm using if I'm doing a pie at home and I just want to do a basic, just a basic crust. I don't want to do a puff or anything. I just want to do a short crust. If you do your plain and self-raising together, it does make a really, really good meat pie. It's fantastic, great for a winter chicken pie, really good for quiches. And that combination that I use is 1 cup of self-raising, 1 cup of plain, about 125 grams of butter, 1 egg yolk, and the trick always is about 1/4 cup of cold water. Now, the good thing about this one is that if you, you're cooking that at a moderate oven, and basically you're just rubbing the butter into the flour, add your egg yolk and water until it becomes smooth. And then all you're going to do is roll that out. But the lovely thing about it is it's not as delicate as a true short crust pastry, because they are tricky, but I tell you what, they are just delicious. But something like that simple, what I call a simple sweet pastry or simple pastry, having that little bit of a puff in it can be really good. But one thing that Mum used to do if she was doing it like that, and she would bake blind, which to me is you put a piece of baking paper and put some weights on top of the pastry so it doesn't actually puff up, but it does cook. Mum would just open the oven halfway through, pull it out, and just with a tea towel, she'd just press it down. Most of the time she'd use her hands, but, you know, women those days, they chopped wood, they did washing, they wrung washing, they had, you know, very tough hands. So a bit different now, but even if you just press that down, that will stop it puffing up, and that's where it's really perfect if you're going to be baking that and filling that shell later. And it's a good plaything too because, you know, kids can help you with that one. But if you're making a really good short pastry, then of course you have to start to really think about the fact that this is going to just use, say, 1.5 cups of plain flour, 125 grams of butter, 1 egg yolk and 1 tablespoon of lemon juice. It's very, very much the same. But in between using, after making it and in between using it, you need to refrigerate that for about 30 minutes. And I always roll between 2 sheets of baking paper, whatever pastry I'm doing, it's just easier. You can lift it up, drop it into the or place it gently into the pie pan, and it's really delicious. I think it's nice with lemon curd, just to really, when you don't want the pastry to take over the filling. For me, for example, I don't mind to have that bit of pastry if you've got a really good, say, chicken and leek pie or a really good beef pie, because it tends to soak it up a little bit. But if you're doing a sweet short crust pastry, then, of course, changing around a little bit, you'd use 1.5 cups of plain flour, 1/4 cup of icing sugar, 125 grams of butter, 1 egg yolk and the 1 tablespoon of lemon juice. And of course, you can see the story here. It's going to be a much sweeter. So if I was making an apple pie, for example, or something like that, I'd be inclined to use the sweet short crust. But if you want to use the simple sweet pastry, where you use 1 cup of self-raising, 1 cup of plain, 125 grams of butter, 2 tablespoons of icing sugar, 1 egg and 1/4 cup of cold water. As I said before, it's a much more forgiving pastry. I find with the short that you've got to be feel quite confident with working that, because sometimes it will fall apart as you're putting it into the pan, and just have to feel quite confident that you can start to press that back into the shape. But of course, the trick with any pastry is don't let it get too hot. I think that you'll always notice that things work so much better after you've left them sit, and it becomes much easier. But when you think about like a pie that, say, for example, you buy from a baker, the bottom is always a short pastry because it's a really good holder, and the top is a puff. You know, a puff's fantastic to make, it really is, but it's it takes a little bit more time. But you can do a rough puff pastry, and that works out like 3 1/3 cups of plain flour and 500 grams of butter, a teaspoon of salt and 1 cup of ice cold water. But then what you're going to do with that is you're going to have that fantastic, beautiful flaky pastry. But with the rough puff, you won't have to do as many folds, if you even have seen on the cooking shows or read in a book, where you will you'll rub the butter in with your fingertips. When almost all of it's been rubbed in, you add the water and form the dough into a ball. Try not to overwork it too much. Wrap it in cling wrap and refrigerate for about 20 minutes. Then you flour a work surface and you roll the pastry into a rectangle, about 20 by 40, and you fold in 3 and you turn the pastry and roll again into a rectangle. So what you want to do is you're getting those layers and layers and layers. Fold again into 3. And you refrigerate for about 20 minutes. Then you go through the same rolling process as before. Chill again, another 20 minutes, and then it's ready to use. So you will get that layering. But if you watch, say, for example, the French a French cooking show, that them making puff pastry, absolutely beautiful. But it will take a lot longer than that. But that's called a rough puff, and it's really nice. Another one I like and is a sour cream pastry. And it is really lovely. It's really good for little pies and tarts, sweet or savoury. But you use about 200 grams of butter, 1.5 generous cups of flour, and 1/2 cup of sour cream. And you're going to use the oven a little bit hotter for this, and if you're baking blind. But it does give a really lovely flaky consistency. So sometimes things, you know, when you taste that really good pie and you think, or tart, and you think, oh, that's just fantastic, you usually find it'll come back down to the carrying case being the pastry. But with your sour cream pastry, you're going to cook that a bit hotter. But you're rubbing your butter into your flour using your fingertips, of course, and that will resemble just dry breadcrumbs. And add the sour cream, and you'll mix until the dough forms a bowl. Wrap in cling wrap, and you refrigerate for about 20 minutes just to rest. And once again, roll your pastry out between 2 sheets. And then you'll do the baking blind. You can use rice, I use paper pastry weights. They're fantastic. I just put the paper in, pour the weights on, and I just pick up that paper and after I finish cooking, and as a funnel, I just pour it back into my container because it doesn't get dirty. The weights don't get dirty. And it's just a really, really good way to do that. And that stops it from rising. It actually creates that bit of a layering. So it's worthwhile to have a bit of a play. And, of course, the good old choux pastry. I mean, that is just a sensational pastry. A lot of people steer away from that. But if you want to make some really beautiful cream puffs or something like that, you have to make choux pastry. So when we come back, we'll have a little chat about that and we'll talk about some fillings because really when you start for this person, thank you very much for ringing up, but for the pastries, there's so many varieties and so many different ways and fillings to use. So let's hope we can actually fill that little need for you to get in there and do a bit of baking. I'll be back very shortly. And of course, you're with Annette on Community Kitchen. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. We're talking pastry and a little bit of cooking and baking and just delightful things. I had a call from one of our listeners this week and said, just talk us through some of the different pastries. Talking about choux pastry, you know, if you ever had one of those fantastic cream puffs, they're just absolutely gorgeous. Profiteroles, of course, they're known as. And you can have them with ice cream and chocolate sauce, or you can have them with a beautiful creamy mushroom sauce, a cheesy bechamel with just a little bit of mustard or something, or of course, the famous way with the cream pâtissière and drizzle with toffee. And they are really delicious. Choux pastry takes a little bit of a swing to make, but it's worth the effort. And I'll go through that with you now. And a choux pastry is something that you you preheat your oven because you want that hot. You want it to puff up. You want it to be hollow and you want it to have no filling in it, as in no pastry left in the center, but you want a really nice, crisp, beautiful shell. So you place 125 grams of butter into a saucepan and a cup of water, and you bring that to a rapid boil. Take off the heat and immediately put all the flour into the mix, and that's one cup of plain flour. And do yourself a favor and put these things out. When you're doing anything like pastries or any cake, measure it out and put in a little bowl so that you've got it all in front of you, and it just is so much easier that way. So going back to the rapid boil, take it off the heat, then you put all the flour in, and now you've really got to stir this vigorously to combine. And it'll look a bit lumpy, but just keep stirring and return it, the saucepan, to the stove on a low heat. And stir until the mixture comes away from the sides of the saucepan. What you're doing here is you're cooking the flour. And when I say it comes away from the sides of the saucepan, it literally comes away from the side of the saucepan and it becomes like a ball. And that's what you want it to do. Put that mixture in a bowl and cool. And you know what I do is I just spread it up the sides of the bowl so it takes a little bit shorter time to cool down. Then you're going to beat in 4 eggs. And a little pinch of salt. Now, when I say beat, don't think you can do this with hand. You need a hand mixer, or if you've got a mix master, even better. So you've got the mixture in the bowl, and you're going to beat in the eggs one at a time. And this mixture is going to become really, really, really shiny and smooth. Beautiful. Now, you can either put that into a piping bag and squeeze out little long shapes, finger shapes, or what I do is I just get a teaspoon and 2 teaspoons, and I take 1 teaspoon and I get the other one and push it onto my paper lined tray. And I bake that for 20 minutes in a 200. Then I reduce it to 180 for a further 5. Now, I'm not talking fan forced here. I'm talking straight. Be careful because, you know, ovens do differ, but I find that just crank it up to 200 and then drop it down. So you're baking it 20 minutes for 200, then you're dropping it to moderate for 5 minutes, and you want them to be crisp and dry. Now, always use your nose when you're baking, because I'll tell you what, as soon as you get that combination of baking, all the senses and all the smells just come together and you go, oh man, that definitely smells cooked. And a choux pastry will do the same. What I normally do is I take them out and I rack them. And sometimes I just get the point of a knife, just a sharp little small knife, and just put a little hole in it. All the air goes out and that stays crisp. Now, if you're going to be making an abundance of these, because depending on the size, if you want a bite-size profiterole, you know, you might need a little bit more than a teaspoon, but you'll be very surprised just how much that choux pastry puffs up. And I've done them savoury. Mum used to do something called a mock chicken, which is chopped up onion and tomatoes, and you cook it down, then you put eggs through it. And interesting, I was just reading a book. I bought this Chinese cookbook in a secondhand shop. Beautiful, really lovely illustrated. And they do a very similar thing. And it wasn't called mock chicken, but it was a different type of food that the Chinese do. So really interesting, isn't it, that, you know, you see these very similar things in different different nationalities. But that choux pastry is worth doing. And, you know, you can make this lovely big circle of the pastry and like a ring shape. And then you can lift the whole top off and you can fill that with a patisserie, a cream patissiere. And that is just sensational. So do yourself a favour. Have a bit of a go at that choux pastry, because once you've done it, you think, huh, don't know why people were talking that it was such a hard thing. It's not. You've just got to go through the stages like any cooking. And what I find when I'm cooking is if I take on a new recipe, I pretty much go straight by that recipe on point, because that's how that person created it. And one of my cookbooks, which I really love, he leaves a little bit of a side that you can write notes down. And I know that when we did our cookbooks, my sister and I, we did ours, that we did that too. We left a little space on the side that if you say change it around a little bit and you think it's better, then at least you've got that notation, because you know the story. You'll go to someone's place and you'll say, oh, that's fantastic. Oh, yes, to make it like this, but I changed it around. Now I've forgotten how to do it. When you're cooking, make those changes in your book. But something like that, that choux pastry, is just fantastic. When we come back, we're going to be talking about putting some fillings in those cases. I'll be back with you very shortly. And, of course, you're with 101.5 Community Kitchen. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. In my opinion, nothing's nicer than a beautiful lemon curd. I just love that tart but sweet. You know, it's just so nice. And one lemon curd that we've used, recipe that we've used many times, and I'm talking cooking in a tent in the middle of Farm Fantastic, and we were able to create this and it never was a problem, is a lemon curd using 5 egg yolks, 1/2 cup of caster sugar, 1/2 cup of lemon juice, and 125 grams of butter. Amazing, everything I cook seems to have butter. So you whisk the egg yolks, caster sugar and lemon juice on medium heat until it thickens. Number one, use a whisk. I really do think a whisk is an underrated thing in the kitchen. It stops a lot of problems and, tell you what, it gets those lumps out of things in a really good fashion. Remove from the heat and stir in the chopped butter and pour into a sterilized jar in the refrigerator. How easy is that? And it's delicious. It really is. It's so beautiful. Now that, in a really nice little pastry case, what a treat. If you don't want to put cream on top, don't worry about it. I think it's just nice as it is. Maybe just a little sprinkle of icing sugar to make it look fancy. But even with that choux pastry, if you had whipped cream and just folded a couple of really lovely tablespoons of that lemon curd through, how beautiful. A chocolate ganache, fantastic in the bottom of a pastry shell. And, of course, that really is just 2/3 of a cup of cream to 180 of dark chocolate, which I like with ganache, but you can use whatever chocolate you like. Once again, bring the cream to the boil, remove from the heat, add your chocolate, stir until smooth, and that'll give a good icing at the same time. Now, with your banoffee, this is, once again, we're going to go to talking about the making the condensed milk. you just boil the condensed milk, and I'm sure everyone knows that, but just make sure that it is covered with water to the very top. And it takes a fairly long time. From memory, I think it takes a good hour and a half to do that, because just having a quick look as we talk here. Oh, it says 2.5 hours. But it's something that you do when you're in the kitchen, because seriously, if you don't watch that and you've got it on too high, it will bust the can. But 395 can of condensed milk and a large pot of water, that's all you need. And cook that. Now, make sure you leave it cool before you undo the top. I seriously have cooked it for less than 2.5 hours. It just gets a darker colour, because what's happening, of course, is the sugar's cooking, the sugar in the condensed milk. But that, down the bottom, in a beautiful pie crust with mashed bananas, juice of one lemon, some whipped cream, and if you really want to knock yourself out, on top of that, you just put a little layer of marshmallows, which is not that hard. We've talked about making it before. And that whipped cream on top. And that is a beautiful banoffee pie. And seriously, for a slice of that in the shop, you'd probably pay about $6, $7, $8. You can make a whole pie and enjoy the thing at home. So there's so many different ways to do things. Pastry, of course, brings on that lovely apple pie. And, of course, it brings on the quiches. And one of the things that I've found is that with your apples, don't cook them too long, because, in my opinion, I mean, I know that people just get the canned pie apples, but if you cook them down in a little bit of water, not much, I don't put much in, and I always put a little bit of sugar in there and butter. It seems to give that just a nice flavour. But one thing that I've found, and it's something that I think we learnt as kids, is that when you've actually got those apples cooked and they're, you know, you can see that they're not 100% transparent. Remember, they're cooking in the pie shell too. Strain them and keep that reserve liquid in a little saucepan, and you heat that and simmer for about until it becomes about half a cup remain. And add a teaspoon of butter and 1 teaspoon of lemon juice and simmer that until it's caramelized. And add that caramelized liquid to the cooked apples, and it just takes that to another level. And when we used to have apple pies, kids, Mum would always put a pastry top on it, and she'd just sprinkle a little bit of sugar on it before it baked, so you got that really good crunch. And seriously, that was just delicious. It was just one of my favourite pies when I was a kid. Isn't it funny? We don't eat as much of that stuff now, because we tend to have a different type of diet for some reason. We don't have puddings and desserts unless we're having a family occasion. We're constantly looking at that little bit of a waistline, I think, nowadays. But we do have, I think, larger meals. And, of course, we've talked about this before. The dinner plates were smaller years ago. So the dinner plates were in between what you would call a bread and butter plate and a main size. I mean, some of the restaurant plates now are just huge. And I know I have some myself. But the old-fashioned, if you've got an old dinner set, you will notice how small the plates were. Definitely different to what we have now. But even when you look at your quiches, you know, when you think about your kids, if you've made that bit of extra pastry, it's really nice that when we were kids, we often just did a jam tart. And that's lovely that you have just a little circle of pastry, press it into a little cupcake tray, and then bake that with some jam in it. Maybe a couple of crosses of pastry on top, which is beautiful. If you want to do a full topping of that, then of course you could do something like some lovely slithered almonds on it, because wouldn't that be extra tasty when that's cooked? And these are little things without the nuts, of course, but if they just had the jam in them, lovely little snack to have in the lunchbox. And of course, another thing, of course, is if you roll out the pastry, and if you slather that with jam and roll that up and cut little circles like a pinwheel and bake them. Of course, they're delicious also. So there's lots of different ways to use pastry. And of course, with winter coming, and no doubt when we get to winter, we'll be talking about some fantastic pie fillings. But just think about having that pastry. And if you do make one batch, make two. And I always do mine flat, and I put it in some baking paper and wrap it up, and then I put it in a sealed bag and put that in the freezer. It takes less time to thaw out. And actually, I just had a little thought then. If you put that in the paper and then just rolled it out a little bit so it was nice and thin before you put it in the bag, then pretty much you've got like a store-bought pastry. But with so many different allergies and problems like that, making your own, at least you know exactly what the ingredients are. So I hope I've inspired you. Get a little bit sweet, get a little bit cooking, and enjoy. And of course, thanks to that listener who gave me a call. And if you have anything that you'd like to find out about, give us a call on Community Kitchen. Phone the radio station. I'm sure they'll be happy to pass on my number. Or, of course, you can email me on annette@twoldducks.com.au. Have a great week. And, of course, you've been listening to Community Kitchen.